Today's episode of Not Just a Phase is brought to you in part by our partners at Relentless Merchandise. For over a decade now, bands worldwide have depended on Relentless to keep their totes stocked with everything from custom tees and tanks to beanies and banners. So whether you're a new band gearing up for your first order or you're a touring operation looking for advanced e-com services, Relentless has you covered with quick turnaround times and first-class service. Does your merch setup need some love? Hit up Relentless Merch on Instagram and check them out online at relentlessmerch.com. Mention this podcast to receive an exclusive Not Just a Phase discount. Relentless merchandise. Quality prints. On time.
Let me just try to remember the name of that fucking song.
You wrote it, right?
I did, but I don't even remember my own lyrics sometimes.
God damn, dude. Did your lips get bigger?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's just the camera angles. A great full mouthful POV into the mouth of hell.
Ugh. Yeah, my DSLs are massive. All right, so it's called The Kids Will Get Their Revenge. All right, whatever. I'm ready, whatever, brother.
All right, cool, man. I'm gonna get into it, see if I do it all without fucking it up. Probably gonna fuck it up.
Pop my collar. Fuck this.
Me up when I'm don't cry.
I'm getting naked again.
Crack me up during the intro. It's just I said try not to crack me up. You start undressing. God damn, dude.
Don't worry. They won't hear you cracking up on my audio. So it's isolated. I'm a professional.
Yes, I too am a professional. So let's do the professional thing. Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase. Thank you for rocking with us here in season 5. If you're a new Jack, let me get this out of the way real quick. We're online at notjustaphase.net. We're on Instagram, Tinder, TikTok, Bumble, friggin' everything on the planet at Not Just a Phase Worldwide. Most importantly, we're also on patreon.com/notjustaphaseworldwide. Bonus content up on there. Video podcasts, all that good stuff. It's free to join, so please do. And if you want to throw us a couple bucks to help support the expansion of the show, that would also be very much appreciated. That would be appreciated. So today we have a return guest, something I don't do very often, but I have a very special place in my heart for this guest. We have Christian Held today on the show from Hong Kong Fuck You, which is a band full of characters. Some of these characters in Hong Kong, Fuck You, have been portrayed in the band's artwork as mascots, from the Peko Chen to the Lamputee. The chaos-riddled brainchild at the helm of this project is a man whose artistic vision of the band portrays cartoonish and gory mascots all over their merchandise and their aesthetic. These mascots have come to form an iconic identity that are quite symbolic of the band's work, and they give you a small peek into the creative mind of their creator. Christian Hell himself is quite a character in real life as well, just putting it simply. He's a madman, an evil genius of sorts. Fueled by his ADHD and love of high-speed tempos, he brews up a musical concoction of multiple bass guitar-oriented hardcore. This noisy anti-music he's crafted is full of technical drumming prowess and spite, sarcasm, satire, silly energy, and dare I say most importantly, sex appeal. Today, we quite literally go to hell and back on the podcast. We have the guy from the Infest Snowman Slave album art cover to tell us about that historic picture and the inspirations behind it. Christian Hell, everyone's favorite communist, the owner of everyone's favorite merch company, Hong Kong Fuck You, Christian Hell. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for the almighty return of Christian Hell. Thanks for coming to the show again, man.
First of all, I'm not a fucking commie. Nothing against you, Karl Max Martin. Maxers, I guess. Karl Marx Maxers. You commie Maxers. Nothing but love for you guys. But I'm not a fucking commie. Consider me a comrade. But anywho, this is Christian Hell from Hong Kong. Fuck a you. And right now we're going to listen to a brand new song that I've written. And it's called, I forget what it's called. The Kids Will Get Their Revenge. Yes, that's what it's called. All right. No, we just listen to it.
We're here first?
Oh, yeah. Listening to it here first.
On Not Just a Phase, I think. right?
I'm not just a phase, I think. Problematic name.
Yeah, yeah. Acronyms. I should have learned from Jimmy Eat World, but I didn't.
Jimmy Eat World.
Learned. Didn't. Didn't.
I had to spell that out. I hope you keep. I hope that stays in the podcast.
Might. Who knows? How's tour going? I see you're in a hotel.
I am, dude. Tour was fucking amazing. I've loved it so far. I'm on a little mini vacation. Yeah.
Last Japan date, sorry, I should say.
Well, while I'm here, yeah. I'm just on vacation now. I had 4 days of vacation, and I fly out in about like 7 hours and try to squeeze in as much little bucket list stuff I can before I leave, which includes, I guess, crowd surfing in a thong at Slight Slappers matinee show, the ultimate matinee show at fucking noon. And then I'm going to swing by Umizu's house, who's one of the best manga artists. And then try to swing by the Ghibli, I don't know how to say it, but his museum. And then I'm going to try to swing by this area called Akihabara, which is very famous in Japan for being an anime district, where I will attempt to find some figures to collect, which has been horrible since then because I already have everything I want. And yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, so you're expanding your hentai collection on your way out?
Or you know what?
Figures, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
I'm still gonna like fight those allegations. So there's something out here. Have you heard of a Tenga?
Bro, what?
Okay, Tenga out here is basically their flashlight. It's such a meme out here. Just Tengas, like everyone has one for some reason.
It's a what?
Japanese flashlights. They're called Tengas. Walking everywhere. So this guy, I thought he was gonna bring me something special to show. He's just like, he's like, I got the stuff. And I was like, oh yeah. In my mind, I was just like, he's talking about some like booger sugar, aka stripper candy, aka co fucking cane. So I was like, hell yeah, because it's Japan, it's extremely legal. So I was like, sweet, I got some drugs. Yeah. Not that I do drugs all the time, but sometimes it's just very nice. And
same.
Yeah. So I was like, oh hell yeah, he's got the stuff. He's like, I'll give it to you at the end of the show because so it won't be sketchy. I'm like, hell yeah. And then at the end of the show, he gives me a bag of fucking tangas. It was like 15 variety of tangas in there. There's like an egg-shaped tanga.
Are they like one-time use? What is? Why did he give you 15 different fucking fleshlights?
They're not one-time use. They're just, you know, they're very useful, in fact, for multiple.
So many, then. Who gives a bag of fleshlights?
You know why? It's because I bought a tanga shirt out here. Having no idea what it was. It was just funny. It's like a picture of like a mouse that looked like a very Tom and Jerry-esque mouse with a t-shirt on while holding a tanga, which I assumed was something. But I just thought it was a funny shirt, and I bought it and I posted it. And to which I quickly learned what tanga was. And because he saw that on Instagram, he bought me a bag of tangas.
Wow.
Typical Hong Kong fuck you fan activity, I guess.
Yeah, just I was a little sad it wasn't cocaine, but it's okay. You know, I'm gonna live.
15 fleshlights will last a lot longer than cocaine.
A lot longer than 12 days sober from cocaine because you're in fucking Japan.
Some of the downfalls of tour life. Christian, it's true remaining rock stars.
We did find marijuana, though. I said marijuana.
Fucking 80. Also, who the fuck cares? It's weed. What did you do with it? Go to bed? Fuck.
No, I smoked the fuck out of it. So there's one incident where we're worried because if you smoke weed here, it's like 3 years. No matter what, if you're foreigner or not, it could be up to like 3 years. Yeah, they treat weed like fucking salt.
Like a bag? Like a
yeah.
Or something like a no.
For a joint. Just for smoking. So we're, you know, kind of hiding in public like we're fucking 12 years old in the MySpace days and smoking weed. And we see this guy that looks like a cop. And I warned my buddy. I told him, I was like, hey, if we see any cops, give me the weed, bro. I will eat it. And sure enough, as soon as you see a cop, my friend gets, or my bandmate, Mikey, is terrified. He's like, Christian, eat the weed. I was like, I got you, bro. It wasn't even like put out. I just straight up cherried, threw it in my mouth, ate the whole thing. And it turns out it wasn't a cop. It was like some kind of like the equivalent of a street conductor, like a traffic conductor in Japan. That was probably looking for his hidden weed stash or something. But whatever.
Wow.
I ate the thing.
Wow.
It was delicious. It was delicious. So I just cracked up an asahi.
So what's been the highlight of tour besides you prancing around in a fucking Sailor Moon fit?
Okay. I was going to say that. So, but no, the first show in Tokyo, which was maybe our third show, Every band was so very aesthetic and very like into their sets, like going hard as hell. Like smacking themselves in the face, like just jumping in the crowd, just bleeding. So I was like, damn, I gotta step it up for this one. And so I just kind of went blindfolded with it. Hence why this guy is, you know, giving me shit saying I'm the cover of Infest's fucking.
Yo, I made that joke before I saw the blindfold. I had that joke written in the intro way before blindfold shit on stage.
Yeah, even though I didn't have my mouth duct tape, but still, I guess it counts. Because I'm Asian, had a blindfold on. Looks close enough.
Let's count it.
But yeah, I did that set blindfolded. And well, the first two songs, while doing a Stone Cold 316, which is when you crack two beers open, smack them together, and pound them.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, no, it was just a very inspired set. And I slowly got naked to the point where I was just in my underwear. Not completely naked, but, you know, just stripped, buried in my underwear, which is, to me, not like a sex appeal thing. It's just like this warrior thing that I don't know why, but it just is like Beowulf and Crying Freeman, which are some deep cuts you should look up. But, yeah, it was fun as hell. Yeah, that set, best set ever, like. Usually I don't have fun performing. I mean, I do have fun performing, but Usually when I'm touring the States, it's a lot of work because I'm like running the merch table and I'm micromanaging a bunch of fucking grown-ass men. But in Japan, they handled my merch for me. I got to actually enjoy green rooms for fucking once. So it was a lot more effort I was able to, and energy I was able to put into the performances. And this, I think, the best shows I've ever done in my life. Like, gosh, it was so amazing.
That is very sick. Very sick. So you debuted a new song on the podcast.
Yes, sir.
Which I super appreciate. What's the writing process been?
Yeah, of course.
New tunes that are coming up. Like, are you still the main writer, assuming alongside Eric? Or has that process become more or less collaborative now?
Me and Eric, I did mention, yeah, on the last podcast that we were working together. But I kind of said, fuck that. Because it's taken forever to put out songs. But I did listen to suggestions. You know, he's just like, oh, maybe change this part because it sounds like an old song. So, you know, that was about as much as his input went. But the main songwriting process for it was just, you know, all in my little autistic brain. Just, like, putting these things together, putting lyrics together and vocal patterns. And it just stayed in my brain like a fucking USB card. That was really it at the end of the day. And when I went to the studio, you know, it left a tiny bit of room to improvise on drums, which is what I start recording with. And then after that, slightly improvised the bass lines. I had an idea of how the bass lines were going to go, but, you know, like I said, left room for improvisation, just to give it more of a spontaneous energy to it. And then did the vocals a week later after that. So I just kind of dubbed everything basically. Around like between the time frame of 3 weeks. And I'm very proud how it came out because I've been sitting on this song that I record, you know, that we debuted here for maybe about 2 to 3 years.
What?
Yeah. That's, you know, for what? That's how I did.
It's like a fucking minute long. Like, I haven't even heard this, by the way, for those of you listening. What I presume is a minute long.
I think it's almost a minute and a half to 2 minutes. It's a little longer.
Getting daring in your old age there. That's crazy.
Well, I don't give a shit. I'm at the end of the day, I'm really not a power violence band. And there are power violence bands that have like 2 minute songs anyways, you know? So, but yeah, it's just definitely a nice, perfect blend of like hardcore punk and, you know, and has its nod to power violence and also just it's its own special Hong Kong flavor to it. Being bass ridden with a tinge of metal to it. So, I'm very excited I got to debut it here. Like I said, I've been sitting on the song for like 2 years. And it's so cool to finally hear it come to fruition. So I've used that word correctly.
Yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate the debut as well. It's always super cool. I love doing shit like that.
I love this podcast.
Fucking right. I see you're rocking like 5-string basses and shit now. Are you using anything aside of the top string on this new music, or we stick into the formula here? And
I just use the first 2-3 strings, or the top, or the bottom 3 strings. No. Which is funny because every time I'm in the studio and I tune the G string, I'm just like, why am I tuning this? I don't even use it. I will use it on the record, though. There's some moments where I use it, but it's combined with a pitch shifter, so it's extremely high pitch. Extremely high notes. Yeah.
EADG. Yeah, but what's it tuned to? Like fucking A?
Oh, I'm tuned to standard. EADG. Yeah.
There's a standard tuning song. Where?
On the all of them. Like literally every song is standard tuning. EADG. I don't.
Lying to me.
I don't need to go any lower. It's a fucking bass. Like E1.
Yeah.
E1 is a pretty low note as is. I use basses, so it sounds like extremely low tuned guitars, but.
It does sound like a lower tuning. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the main point why I do it. But I don't need to go any lower. I have with All You Need Is Kill, my side project, as low as A0, which is pretty much dropped A on a bass. And that was a 6-string, not a 5-string, by the way.
My bad. I'll have to fire my research guy.
No, you're good, dude. It gets confusing after 6. I thought Cattle Decapitation used a 7-string for the first like 20 years of listening to them. until they corrected me, like, we've never used the 7th string, you motherfucker. I'm like, oh, sorry. Whoa. They take it personally. Fucking metalheads.
That extra string really pissed them off.
You know, like, they were fighting those allegations very hard.
And losing them, much like your hentai allegations, I'm sure.
Son of a bitch. Watch your fucking mouth.
So with these new tunes, what are we doing lyrically here? Are we still bashing Eric, or is that just very 2022? Not as far anymore?
We never bashed Eric on lyrics, but we are going to bash Eric in one song called, which I'm going to title Zotzi. Have you heard of Goatsy?
No.
Goatsy is, if you just, Google search Goatsy, it's a very old Reddit term, I think. It's G-O-A-T-S-E. It's like literally an image of, it's always a photo of a guy just grabbing his ass cheeks and just like holding it open. Right. You've for sure seen those images. So it turns out Goatsy this whole time is an acronym for guy opens asshole to show everyone.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yes. And So we're going to write a song called Zotzi, which is Zendejas opens ass to show everyone, which is Eric's last name, because that seems to be his favorite thing to do on tour. Every time you just walk into a room, he's there waiting for you with his Zotzi.
Just gaping for the world to see.
Yeah. He's got insane anus lips. Like, they're very vaginal. They literally look like beef briskets. It's insane. Oh, he's like very proud of it. I think he's proud of it.
I gotta cut.
Me and him were like, maybe. We've had like, we had this like respectful run of no shit talk, and we're just like really cool with each other, you know? Until he showed me his beef briskets, and that's when I was finally like, that run came to an end. I was like, bro, you got beef brisket in his lips.
Don't. I was just going to say, don't use that fucking term again.
Beef briskets? In his lips? They're insane. They are insane.
Fine, but oh my God. Wow. All right. Well, moving on to more.
Anus stuff. Curtains. He's got anal beef curtains. It's insane, dude. They look beat up. I mean, fucking legend, the Zotzi. But anywho, the song, the shit talking you're probably referring to is when I've talked shit about an old member named Maga. This is before Make America Great Again.
We were chatting. Yeah. Last podcast we had with you, you were mentioning many of your songs were just shit talking one specific.
Yeah, I've shit talked him like 4 or 5 times.
I got that mixed up. For some reason, I thought you were having jokes about Eric.
Yeah. No, the kids will get their revenge is kind of a dedication to one of my quote-unquote adopted sons, Kurt, but just my son in general, and just like a kind of a message to, you know, people, kids are, you know, growing up in tough environments where they feel like they're not appreciated and they're hated for everything they do, which is my upbringing. Like, all I did when I was a teenager was I would just be in my room drawing all day, designing imaginary t-shirts for bands I didn't have because I was like fucking 12, and, you know, listening to metal and writing music on my own, and was like extremely shamed for it. And as they say, success is the greatest revenge. So it's just also like kind of saying, like, not that you have to be successful to get revenge, but just at the end of the day, like, you know, everything you were bullied for, just shamed for, or even abused for, which was my case, like, you will come to the top. You will get your fucking revenge one day. So that's really what it is. And maybe kind of a nod to the classic phrases that always have the kids in it, like the kids will have their say, or the kids will... are not going to be all right, or whatever that fucking Offspring song title is. So a bit of a nod to that. Wow. To me, it's a very emotional song. So it's cool, even though it sounds sweet. Yeah.
Okay. Went from beef briskets to your lonely childhood real quick. That was
crazy. You asked. You asked. I did.
Now, we've chatted before privately about how well you do in merch sales. That was my joke about you being everyone's favorite merch company. Very dedicated fan base, to say the least. And to revisit a combo I had with you a while back off mic, people have seriously asked to pay for your puke. You were not fucking with me on that one.
No, they've been in my DMs asking about the vials of puke, which is vile.
So now I also have heard on another podcast you did that you've sold some of your used underwear before. Now, would
I have.
You consider selling your piss maybe by the ounce in a nice Hong Kong fuck you shot glass? I'm asking for a friend.
Any day. Any day. Please email or DM me. I will sell you my piss. I will package it nicely. It would be very aesthetic. I'm an artist, after all. You're buying from the right person.
You shot glasses. However it happens, I'm good with it.
For free, I will sunbathe it for you. If that's sunbrew it. It's apparently a thing. People brew their piss in the sunlight. Yeah. Jankum.
Yeah.
Why? I didn't say, what's the word we're looking for here? When you...
EPN poo-poo. When you
basically, like, vinegarize it. There's a word for that. Vinegarize it. Like when you make kombucha. I don't know. There's a word here. I forget. I think it starts with, yes, ferment. Thank you ferment. So much.
When you
I'm hungover as ass. Yeah. I will ferment it for you if you fucking want, I guess, but...
Disgusting. That's pretty much the answer I expected. Ask a stupid question.
Jacob's fantastic. Well, it requires feces for it to fully ferment. TP and feces.
I'll just settle for the ounce of your piss in a Hong Kong fuck you shot glass. I think that was...
Oh, I thought it was for a friend. Thought it was for a friend.
Yeesh.
Shot yourself in the foot there, Captain Jankum. So I was wondering what Jankum is. It's when you ferment your feces and urine in a jar, whatever the fuck you have available, and you huff it for hallucinatory purposes
in the sunlight. And that's yeah, for those of you who are
you sound well experienced with this, which I'm not judging at all.
No, that's one drug I haven't tried because
I prefer normal things like black tar heroin and cocaine, but you're apparently on the Jankum side. The Jankum spectrum of gonzo fuck tartarism.
It's a little more experimental than you, I guess. What can I say?
Yeah, never thought I'd hear that from you. Jankum Addicts. That's a great name.
We're out there. Oh, true. That is a great name.
Jankum Addict.
Jesus. Oh, man. All right.
I mean, you know, there's a band out here called Penis Boys. I can't wait to listen to. He gave me his CD and his 7-inch. That sounds wrong after saying Penis Boys, but it's not wrong if you think it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with 7 inches at all. It's above average. It's fantastic, actually. But he gave me a 7-inch for Penis Boys, and I can't wait to hear it. That's like my favorite band name. I told him immediately, like, I'm going to bootleg a t-shirt of this, whether I've heard it or not.
That is as good as his band name, because that's fucking silly.
Yeah, here's another band. I forget the name, but it's something Takanaka, which is basically like the Japanese Charles Bronson, as in the actor. And the band is literally the Japanese Charles Bronson, as in the band. Fantastic. They're so good. Yeah. Very good.
You have to tell me how to spell that so I can... check it out after.
I just got to remember the name. I think it's like Ken Takanaka or something. I could be wrong. But I will definitely pass that on to you.
Beautiful. Yeah. So you're in Japan. Have you tried suing Hunger Games yet? I mean, that red light, green light bitch is clearly a direct ripoff of your Peko-chan character.
Well, first of all, Peko-chan character is not my character. She is equivalent to like the Pillsbury Doughboy for chocolate. She's been around since like the 30s. And it turns out a friend of a friend is the designer for her, and he's a punk rocker. So I don't think he's going to sue me.
It was like a milky treat, some sort of breast milk chocolate, some bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, it tastes, hence why the phrase is taste like mama, because it's supposed to taste like breast milk. Yeah, it's like a children's candy, but whatever, you know, grown-ass men eating breast milk. I've used breast milk as a face wash from my lovely girlfriend, who's also the mother of my son, and it's great for your skin. It's extremely antibacterial. People buy breast milk. Of course, that's what I was like. Give me that damn milk.
I'm sure it was consensual.
Yes, of course. She was pumping them titties. Because if you don't, you could get mestizos, which is basically a clog, and which can turn into an infection, which is very bad, which she did get. So she was constantly just pumping those puppies, those lovely puppies. And yeah, like I said, use it for face wash. Amazing.
Really?
It's better than Manuka, than high-grade Manuka honey. It's the best. Human breast milk. Manuka. Great for... I would take a bath in it if I could.
What the fuck is Manua?
Manuka honey? I don't know. It's just some kind of fucking honey motherfuckers use to, for like acne or whatever. Any kind of skin condition.
I was scared to ask.
Don't worry. It's not hentai, you motherfucker.
Not being the allegation.
Speaking of hentai, every time I'm out here and I love collecting figures, specifically posable figures. Sure. And
figures.
So I'll go to the districts that are specialized in that. And every time, you know, there's multiple floors. And every time I get to the fifth and sixth floor, it's always a floor of Tengas. And if you're following me, it's basically Japanese fleshlights. And then the sixth floor is always hentai. It's fucking so funny seeing all the different characters in those rooms. No shame. No shame at all.
Yeah, it's, they got a different view towards sex.
And not that I'm kink shaming here, but it's just, you know, it's not my jam. It's not my jam. And at the end of the day, if you don't think it's funny, you have no sense of humor. I'm sorry. You have no sense of humor.
It's interesting. Hey, anyone who clicked on this episode probably knew what they were getting into. Or if you didn't, welcome to the Hellverse, I suppose.
Yes. Welcome to my twisted world. A third character. Maybe soon. I pretty much have started that already because I started beginning to get terrified of like copyright infringement for using the Pico-chan. So I was like, even though it already is technically fine because I redrew it and it falls under the category of satire because it's like presenting her as a serial killer at the end of the day. But I still changed it a little bit more to be safe. Like I gave her a different hairstyle and a different outfit and put more emphasis on the gore with her character. So I think it'll be fine then. That's now the third character. So, which is like her second evolution.
So there's not going to be a new third character? You just think you're considering her evolution as a third character?
So far, yeah. I had ideas for third characters, but it's not really landing yet.
Nothing's landing yet. Yeah, because like the Pico-chan and the Lamputee, they've only hung out like literally less than a handful of times from what I clocked.
Yeah, plenty. There kind of is a newish character, which is like a businessman, like an Asian businessman in a suit, which is supposed to be a bit of a like a reflection on the burnt out working class, which was literally me before I did this full time. And it's always Pico-chan killing him. So I think he could be considered a third character and might do him in some solo stuff, doing some oddball shit.
He hasn't been on shirts yet though, right? Just a couple show flyers.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a couple show flyers. Yeah. You've seen his
not
corpse
a character till it hits a shirt. That's
yeah.
Looking at it.
Yeah. It's just a guy in a suit and tie. Pretty simple. So might start presenting him more satirically with his penis out or something. I don't know. Just doing some oddball shit.
Get him one of those 15 fleshlights they gave you.
Tengas. One of those. Big difference.
Tenga. This man needs to relax. Relax. So,
oh, man.
In terms of your art, aside of the Canadian artists that you've done a few Hong Kong fuck you collaborations with before,
it's one artist. And fuck that guy. Just one artist.
Yeah, that's why.
One Canadian artist. Yeah.
You want to name drop the guy or just say fuck him?
Nah, he can suck my ass. He insists I ripped him off for presenting my flyers as distressed when that's been a thing on Tumblr since like 2012. So he can shut the fuck up about that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Last I'd heard, you guys had done a few collabs and it was all kosher. It's all cool.
At the end of the day, he was literally telling me, you're taking money out of my wallet for making flyers. And I'm like, okay, like, you're trying to make money by being a professional punk flyer maker? Shut the fuck up.
Like, with that.
Okay. And you're going to try to gatekeep Xerox art to yourself? Like, okay, yeah, sure. Okay, good luck with that. Like, no one's ever heard of a fucking punk flyer, like, professional graphic designer. Like, God, get your head out of your ass.
Damn. Yeah, if you came into punk rock to make money, you can get the fuck out. And we now have a Buy Me a Coffee link at buymeacoffee.com/ not just a phase worldwide. Because, yeah, this doesn't pay for anybody. But my question I was going to get at is, what artists or graphic designers are you currently a big fan of? Who's inspired? Who are you just enjoying?
I don't really, like, have specific ones. I just stick with, like, you know, specific images I've seen, and they just stay with me. My main inspiration comes from propaganda from the 20s and 30s. Asian propaganda, Russian propaganda specifically. A lot of Mexican propaganda, too, because they had a very Barbara Kruger-esque energy to it, even though that was before her time. And if you're following me here, Barbara Kruger is a graphic designer that utilized a lot of red and black and white. And that's what I'm getting at here. All that propaganda from that era, which is usually communist propaganda, had a lot of red, black, and white in it. And it's just sick. I don't know. It sticks out to me so much, like a warning sign. Even in evolution, I feel like red sticks out, like it's in our nature to have our eyes drawn towards red, to know that as like a predator or some kind of poisonous animal.
For sure.
Or a poisonous plant. This is, I don't know, it sticks out so well. I love it.
It's a warning color. It's a warning color.
Yeah, and ever since I was like literally like six, like, it was my favorite color to draw with, which was always blood. And like father, like son.
Six?
Yeah. My child is so drawn to blood, and I'm just like, calm down, buddy. Like,
no. You know, none of that's helping you beat the communist allegations I threw at you either, eh?
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Communism can work. I don't, just good luck trying to make it work in the United States with billions of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great in theory. It's great in theory. A little harder to put into practice, though, for sure. For sure. Is there any specific art you've made or put on a shirt that people ask for a reprint of more than others? I'm asking because I want the NWO shirt.
You can just bootleg that one yourself. That was Eric's idea for that shirt. Eric has always been drawn to, he's like a big WWE fan. I was more of a WWF fan, which is the same thing, but before it became WWE. And so I don't really watch it anymore. I miss the days when it used to be bloody. God, it was so cool. But the most printed shirt we've been getting a request for is the Hong Kong Kill Your Fucking Family shirt, which was inspired by my friend, who's also one of my quote unquote adopted sons, Kieran. And he basically, when I was at their house in Portland, showed me a photo of them saying like, yo, you should put this on a shirt. I was like, holy fuck, you look like a demented sociopathic child. Like, have you ever watched those documentaries on sociopath children that like kill their families? It's exactly what she looks like in that photo. And that's what that shirt is. It's a Xerox of that. And that's been the most, backtrack a little bit. I told him, yeah, if I put this on a shirt, I'm going to put this quote on it because you look just like what I described, a sociopathic little serial killing child. And which kind of led to the inspiration for that song, which is the ending track on Third World Fighting Music, which is, most people don't know, is 13 songs, but just on the, you know, streaming, I just compiled it into one. That was the intended listening experience. But anyway, that is the most requested t-shirt. And I've seen it go on fucking Etsy and whatever, Depop, all those fucking resource sites for like 150 to 200. And it's sold for 200 before, which is insane.
200, like American dollars?
Yeah, USD. Like
fucking 400 Canadian. That's ridiculous. It's like 350, a little less. But yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's like fucking what's like maybe like so, it's a lot of yen. It's a lot of yen. I don't want to do the math. I want to do 200 times 130 something, whatever it is right now. Yeah. So after seeing that, I was like, oh, I got to reprint this because sell it because fuck you. No one should be paying 200 for that shit. But maybe they should because it's each single shirt we have was handmade in Mexico. Screen printed by hand. It's like a lot of love goes into those t-shirts.
You still hand printing everything like that? Like you still screen printing everything by hand or?
No, I pay my friends to do. I don't do that myself. It's like,
yeah,
it's just be too much for me to do.
Right.
I want to get into screen printing so I can bootleg my own shirts just for myself, but we will see if that happens. Yeah, not a bad idea. Right. Armpit stains. Jizz stains, everything.
There you go. Real hell sweat, blood and tears.
Yeah, just selling all of in a Depop that just sells nothing but my underwear. It'll have the amount of days they were been worn for. This was worn for 30 days in a row on the USA tour.
Fuck, it's disgusting.
Not for some people.
Right. Hey, I mean, yeah, sure, whatever's your thing, I suppose. As long as your kink is consensual, I shouldn't shame it, I guess.
No, but we're gonna make fun of it for sure.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah.
You know, there's very selective ethics on kink shaming because no one shames you for shaming feet fetishes. So even Sonic the Hedgehog shames you for feet fetishes, foot fetish, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
As they should. That is definitely. That and furries, I don't get that.
So here's an interesting take on furries.
Okay.
I know a girl that's like just horny as fuck, just into that whole BDSM world. That's her whole fucking personality trait, which is cool. Good for them. But she shamed the hell out of furries because she's basically pushing the agenda that furries are basically zoophiles. At the end of the day.
I mean, I can't see it.
Like, it depends on the furry, but that's the agenda she's pushing. I don't hate furries or anything. Like, do your own thing, like have fun with it. But we're just on the subject of kink shaming here. So that's what she insists with furries, and I'm not pushing that agenda at all. But I thought it was a funny take. Like, she was such a heated argument. It's like right up there next to pedophilia for her. She's just like, ah.
Yeah, I think that's a bit.
She's like, they're a bunch of closet zoophiles.
Zoophiles. Never heard that term in my life.
I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you like going to zoos. It means you want to fuck animals. Bestiality. So consider it a cousin of bestiality. Like, it's bestiality, softcore. Softcore the word?
Softcore is the word. Yep.
Yeah, softcore is the word. Just be a new aesthetic.
Let's get you back on track. Try to, anyways.
Good luck.
Talking about music. Yeah, I know, right? So, have you decided what creative route you want to take with these music videos, what direction you're going? I know I'm not going to spill any ideas. What you want to leak is up to you. Just curious if you're a route, because you'd mentioned that music videos are something you're interested in doing coming up.
Yeah, if I feel like I would barely be in these videos. No, I mean, I would be in the videos, but like performance-wise, like, I don't know. I was never been a big fan of seeing music videos with bands performing. It's like, might as well just watch a fucking live set at this point because they're just lip syncing, which is
for sure
kind of odd to me. But I'm a very artistic person at the end of the day. And I've always had a daydream to be some sort of director or have something to do with cinematography. So that's kind of a hint I can give to you guys about what the direction I'm going with music videos. But they would be very hyper-violent and a direct inspiration to some of my favorite directors whose names I can't even remember to save my life because they're all Korean directors.
Can you?
Yeah. But yeah, that would be a big nod to hyper-violent Korean and Asian films in general, especially old school like kung fu movies. Big nods to that and big nods to old school kaiju. Big kaiju stuff like Ultraman and Godzilla, obviously, in certain cases. But I've been very picky with the director and what camera they use to the point where I'm just like, well, I could just rent my own camera and direct it myself.
You would go over the
whole. With the help of, yeah.
Yeah.
With the help of my girlfriend, because she's a fantastic photographer. It's been her passion since she was a child. And I have like a pinch of ideas of how to do direction with like, I don't know the terms here. I'm going to sound like an idiot to anyone that went to film school, but stage plotting, I think it's called. I don't know. But I have a gist of how to do it. I've been, you know, like I said, directing and cinematography is like a little passion I've daydreamed about doing, because it's not a cheap hobby at all. A very expensive hobby. And as is, I'm already busy doing Hong Kong and recently started collecting, you know, getting stuff off my bucket list for collectibles like figures and whatever, which are also expensive hobbies. You know, I put everything, all my money, mainly into Hong Kong, you know, and upgrading on gear and just making sure my bandmates are taken care of with, you know, because I cover the cost for all the Airbnbs and hotels on the road, because fuck sleeping on the floor someplace, you know. You want to have take care of your mental and physical health as much as humanly possible when on tour.
You're not that big at this fucking hotel, dude.
Oh, no. I've done my time for punk. I'm good. I've been homeless. I'm good. I deserve it. So fuck you.
I'm very
you dumbass.
For your memoirs, Christian Hell from Homeless to Homosexual. It's a hell and back. It's going to be
yes.
Going to sell millions, man. It's going to be a bestseller for sure.
And all the money will proceed to going to me and my son's college funds, if he goes that route. But he'll probably just be a high school dropout just like me. Whatever.
So much hair in the camera. Please. I'm trying to do a fucking interview, man.
That's all right. I could put the leg down, but I could also put it higher, Van Damme style. All right, there you go. At least my nipples are out of shot, okay?
That's what the people are coming to see. They don't even want to listen. They just want to look. That's it.
Is this episode going to be viewable? With the?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you not
nice.
Know that I do video podcasts now?
I did not know that.
Video last time. Yeah, we do video.
Oh, fuck me.
Would you put a shirt on if you knew that? Really? Would it have mattered?
No, luckily I look good, so we're okay.
You're good. And now I'm going to get some new Patreon subscribers for that hairy leg. They're going to jump off the audio and go see what's
going on. No, everyone's going to notice me staring at myself on the camera this whole time, so just like...
I've been doing it too, fixing my hair.
Just mogging, yeah. Ooh, this angle looks good. I'm going to hold that one. All right. Asahi, dry, very good, psycho. Sako means very good in Japanese, apparently.
Can you do that impression? Is that you get away with that?
All the time. Yeah. I mean, that's just how you pronounce things. And plus, if I'm fucking Asian, I'm allowed to. Like, you can't tell me I can't. Right. I'll fight you.
All right.
I will fight you. And they love it so much. Gosh.
Yeah.
I'm the most quotable person in Japan right now. Everything they tell me, I'll repeat it exactly how they tell me, and it turns it into like a meme.
Who's bigger, you or Godzilla out there?
Godzilla's penis alone is bigger than me, so that's to answer your question. That's Godzilla cuck. Gojira cuckoo. Very big. Very big. I love Japan, man. This nonstop. They taught me how to order a whiskey highball, some Sun 20 whiskey. I'll just be like, Onesan, highball! Every time. And he'd be like, hi, bring me my shit. It's amazing.
Okay. That's all I would need to know out there, too. I'd be good with that.
Yeah.
I'd get by on just that.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a lot of cocaine out here. Speedballs is very popular. Or speedboru, they call it. In Japan, speedboru, very, very famous.
For real?
Like, I'm just quoting them, man.
No, but like speedball. Like
meth and black tar. Fuck yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Wow. Really love it.
Really?
Can't say I've tried it yet, but I'm no stranger to danger. I've done a lot of Calvin Klein's. And I'm not going to explain what a Calvin Klein is. You can just Google it. Especially if you're a 12-year-old listening to this. In fact, just don't do drugs.
Turn off this podcast if you're under the age of 21. Just please.
Someone brought a fucking one-year-old to my show the other day.
No, dude, what the fuck? All ages is getting out of control. It's not what we meant when we said that.
Like, because their mom messaged me. She's like, oh, my daughter loved the show very much. And I'm like, okay. All right.
That's literally her my accent came through the show. Message, for Christ's sakes.
I assume this is exactly what it sounded like. I'm pretty sure it's accurate.
Well, you've played a ton of places, a lot of countries and shit at this point. Where is the least enjoyable that you've been? And where haven't you gone that you need to go?
There's no unenjoyable. I seriously love every single one. Like I love, like a mother would love all of her children individually. Like a mother reluctantly loves her child, even though his name is Jeffrey Dahmer. Just, you know, this is nothing but special love for every place I play.
Okay. So you're just saying, so you can make merch sales next time you go back everywhere.
Well, no.
It's been one place you fucking didn't enjoy, you liar.
That I didn't enjoy? No, man. Every show's been a fucking hit. It's been great. Okay, no. I did have one weird experience when I played Chattanooga, Tennessee, because there was only like four people that went, and I feel like it was their first show ever, because between songs, there was no clapping. They just like stared like wide-eyed. Like, if they went in a jacuzzi and went under the jacuzzi, their eyes would still be wide open, just like just staring into nothing. And it's so weird.
Maybe I think even on some fucking some uppers.
No, because they're like, it was like two dads and like four children. Literally children. They're like all like 13 and 14. They drove like hours just to see me, because Hong Kong hadn't been to the Midwest yet, or wherever the fuck Chattanooga, Tennessee is. That's the South, I think. Yeah, that was the weirdest show. It's just dead silent between songs. I was like, okay, this is really weird. So awkward.
Weird as fuck, especially for your music. Yeah.
Yeah, it just felt more like a rehearsal with people staring at you, saying nothing.
Just pan-eyed, too.
Just like wide-eyed.
Well, that's how Hong Kong fuck you hits, you know. That is how it hits.
I guess all you need is kills in the same vein. So, yes.
Yes, it is. And I wanted to actually, good thing that you mentioned it, I wanted to pivot over there. The art style for that is completely different. It's a lot more realistic. It's not as cartoony. It's still very black, white, and red, warning, communism coded, if you will. So, but the art is a lot more real, and I would say more like towards a horror-based kind of inspo.
Yeah, you know, like every time I show the absurdist collages, they're called absurdist collages, I think, if you had to put it into a genre. But anyway, every time I've shown the artwork for it to like friends and family, they're like, it looks like a serial killer made it. I'm like, cool.
Yeah. So is that the inspo behind it? Your fetish for horror and serial killers and shit like that?
No, I just try to present it as an aggressive piece of art as humanly possible. It's inspired by, I'm trying to remember his name, it's an old-fashioned photographer. I think his name is Henry Clark. And I believe it's Harry Clark or Henry Clark, but he took a photo, I think in Japan, of a billboard that was half ripped on a face of a model. So it's like this woman's face and the bottom half is ripped, and it's still the same image, but it just, I don't know, it was just such a very visceral photograph to me. And that was the main inspiration behind all the collages I do for All You Need Is Kill. Yeah.
Well, it's good to know it's not what you see when your eyes close, because that was my theory.
That's just working with what I got. I did one of, gosh, what was that killer's name? Charlize Theron played her in a movie. I can't remember. Eileen Wuornos. I did that for the recent flyers. I don't know what I was doing. I was just staring at it like, you know, I basically printed them, gave them that Xerox effect, quote unquote. I was just staring at these pieces of papers, and I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I just kept tearing them up and re-pieced them so that her face looked like another face, and it looked, like I said, I showed it to my girlfriend, and she's like, that looks like a serial killer made it. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
When are we
going to, like, a little,
you need his kill?
I don't know, because I want to go even lower with it, speaking in terms of tunings. And I've been looking into getting a 42-inch scale sub bass is what they're called, so I can do some really low tunings. Like, what the lowest note, sub bass is a bass that's with a longer neck. So your average bass is about 34 inches, whereas a guitar is about 24 to 25 inches long on the neck. Just the longer the neck, the more clarity comes out of the notes.
Baritone.
Which is like, oh, especially, yeah, baritones too. Baritones average at about 30 inches at the most. Okay. And so basically, yeah, it goes guitar, baritone, bass, and, you know, with for the ranges that you can do with streamed instruments,
I'm assuming.
Yes, and then there's sub bass, also known as contrabass, which is even longer. It's like I said, average about 40 to 41 inches, and it's basically a whole octave lower than a bass. An octave meaning like the note, like, so you go like, ooh, ee, that's, you're hearing two octaves when I do that. So I think that, I'm not like pitch perfect. I know, but I have pretty good pitch, you know, but I'm pretty sure that was a G note. But yeah, it's like, ooh, ee, you know, you're hearing a G1 to a G0 to a G1. Whereas another comparison for that, for an average listener, the lowest note on a piano is usually A0, which is, if you're still following me for bass, if you do like a dropped A, that's the same note. And that's what I did with All You Need Is Kill. But I want to take it even lower to E-1.
Negato.
Yeah, and I can only really accomplish that. Oh, I'm sorry, not E-1. My apologies. To E0, which is, you know, a couple notes lower than the lowest note on a piano. It'd be very hard to hear, but, you know, it'd be so distorted it would just sound violent as hell. Just pounding that note, or brown note, should I say. Damn, the legendary note that makes you shit yourself.
You know, for a guy who only uses the top string, you really do know your music theory. Fuck the haters, man. I don't know why. That's crazy.
I didn't know they were, and I don't care. I'm actually pretty good at death metal. Like, that's what got me into playing guitar, was hearing death metal. I was like, whoa, this is so cool. You know, getting down on some tremolos and nasty bench harmonics and with arpeggiations. Like, I still have it in me. I just grab a guitar and boom, just we'll do some sweeps on there. It's only like the same mode, but whatever. Like, no one, not an average person can pull that off. And you wouldn't expect that out of someone that writes nothing but negative IQ caveman music on basses, three basses at that.
I was going to say, how many are rocking with this tour? Is it three for this run?
Yes, absolutely. It's always going to be three.
It's going to stay three now. Do you still have members on both sides of the border as well? Is that
right now, the drummer Hogarth, who is also referred to as my son, he looks just like me, and he's been absorbing my
bastard children and adopted children. Do you think you have in total? This is getting out of control here.
You know, I don't even think even Iggy Pop can answer that question. So that's my answer to that.
A true legend. Have you leaned more towards one role or the other yet with Hong Kong Fuck You? I mean, last time I had you on, mind you, 2 or 3 years ago, I asked which role you dom, and you basically said you were a switch. Have you chosen a main position? Bass, drums? What are we doing here these days?
Switch, flexitarian. It's whatever I feel like. Sometimes they'll keep asking for songs, and if Zendaya has to, you know, plan that show, because lately he's been in and out as he's wanting to take it easy and get back to a normal life. But if it's me and Zendejas, who knows every song, I'll switch to drums if they ask for an encore and the rest of the crew are out of, you know, they've exceeded their limit on the songs they know. And I'll sing and drum for that old school style. Yeah.
Looking
but for the and so the other day I did play bass and sing for just like one song because my bassist is like, oh, I want to go like crowd surf during this. I was like, yeah, I got you. So I grabbed his bass and we just, you know. So I just do whatever. But the utmost mission for Hong Kong was always to at least be two bassists with some sort of noise artist going in. And I got tired of looking for a fucking noise artist. So I just was like, I'm just going to do it myself.
Yeah. Since you mentioned noise, it was on my question list as well. I know you're a big fan of garbage. What are you fucking with that for the noise heads that you might want to check out? what
man stuff, just but forever a big fan of torturing nurse from China. Such of like, I'm going to say it again. It was such a visceral performance. I love that word. Extremely violent. Definitely check out that motherfucker. Just harsh noise wall, sometimes kind of on the paraelectronic side, but for the most part, just utter violence. Utter violence is all you hear when you listen to it.
So last time I had you on, we talked about pedals. You were actually one of the first people I asked about gear, and I'm trying to make it a common question every episode now where I ask if you're willing to give a short detailed run of what your rig rundown is like from head to pedal board to bass. What are you rocking with that's making the tone?
Lately, I've been using this pedal called the Solar Chug. Or the Solar Chug. I'll say it like that because I forget the name of the guy, but he has a channel called Does It Chug? And he literally uses every pedal to show you if it chugs or not, if it can chug. To the point where he's like, I'm going to make my own pedal, and it's going to be called the Chug. And it, thanks, guess what it does? It fucking chugs. It makes a bass chug, which is...
Should have called it Chug or Not.
Ah, maybe the next one.
I had a beer bong funnel back in the day I called the Chug or Not.
Yeah. very nice. Good times. I used to be, yeah, I remember those days when drinking was my personality trait and it was great. I still got it in me. Could still pound a beer pretty fast, very fast.
Fucking right, same.
My gag reflex turns off when it comes to pounding beers. Duly noted, right?
Nope.
But anywho, I always use a Solar Chug and I love high gain, so I have always pair it with a noise gate, and the noise gate I prefer and most people prefer is the Decimator ISP2 or no the ISP Decimator 2 G string, right? What? Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Anyway, it's a noise gate and it's all chromed out with a red LED light, so it looks like a little Terminator. It's fucking sick. It gates both your pickups on your guitar and whatever pedals you have it before the rest of your chain, if any of you nerds are following me. But it's the best. And recently, I think the name of the company is Demon FX. They're a bootleg company, I think, from China. Sorry about the burp. They make extremely accurate clones of pedals, basically bootlegs. And they recently did that one, and it's spot on. But if you drop it, it's done. That's made of plastic, so that's the only downside. Hence,
doing
it's
the Tower of Power.
Tower of Power?
We in fucking pedals, but yeah, what are we doing for a head and cab there?
I've been using just a Kemper profiler, which is basically somewhat of an emulator. It's like a plugin, but like an analog plugin, should I say, because it's an actual amp. It's pretty much a fucking computer, and it's powered by what was, because it's not, it's basically a computer. And so the actual amp I had to install myself is from a company, I think, called SHP, and it's the Camplifier. It was made by German engineers who are the best in the world for some reason. And so I installed that in the back, and it's ridiculous. It's like 280 watts, which is insane for a guitar, so that it can compete well with tube heads. And so I use that on a Mesa Boogie 4x12, which is really great for low end, for my high gain rig. And then I also use like an 8x10 Ampeg with dark glass 900 microtubes 900 v2, which is really good for the quote-unquote clank, which is maybe you could also refer to that as the corn fieldy bass sound. And then thirdly, for the proper low end and fuzz, I use another 8x, I use a 2x15 Emperor with a Quilter bass block, the latest version, whatever it is. I think it's called Q03 or some shit. I don't remember. It's just numbers. I see numbers and then my brain fries. But those, the two first rigs I mentioned, they're mainly driven by Digitech Lux, which is kind of a chorus pedal, but it's not. It's a pitch shifter based chorus. So if you ever fucked around like a whammy or any kind of pitch shifter, you notice if you just slightly lower the octave, it has a chorus effect to it. And that's exactly what that pedal does. It's a pitch shifter based chorus, but also called the anti-chorus because they don't want to be referred to chorus. And it sounds amazing. It sounds like a classic 80s Boss chorus pedal, but with more clarity to it. It's amazing. And so that with the Chug, for the most part, is the beef and the meat and the bones of Hong Kong. And of course, I've always using the classic Paradox defibrillator pedal, which has been on every single Hong Kong record, which is just this nasty fuzz. And it presents just a great texture that's so necessary to the fucking little barrage of basses I'm just shoving up your ass.
What's in the barrage? You got like two regular ones you're using bass-wise?
Three basses. So yeah, three basses. So the barrage is like I said, essentially, because you're not a pedal guy, so you're very confused by this whole thing. Is the Solar Chug,
and I got a distortion pedal, and
that's all you need, baby.
You have them quite well.
Yeah. So it's essentially a chorus just and a very high gain pedal that can make even a bass chug. It makes a bass articulate like a guitar, so I can do more than just some open notes. I can like palm mute, I could do pinch harmonics if I really wanted to, this and that. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I also been using on the new record Digitech Ricochet, which is a smaller version of the Digitech Whammy, but it's there's a lot more room for creativity with it because it has a pretty much a swell effect on it. So if I hit it, I can control the rate of when it returns back to it, the normal note, or whether you're going from a lower octave or a high octave, it would just be like, ew, you can control that. So you make it fast, like an ew, ew. So I can do some pew pews, some may call it. Is there any car bomb fans out there?
Exactly, man. So I meant, yeah. What kind of basses are you fucking with though? As
well? Oh, basses.
What's in that rotation?
On this record, I used my friend's vintage P bass as well as his jazz bass. And then my go-to is my... People laugh at Ibanez, but I don't give a shit. I use an Ibanez ATK.
That's a sick.
Which, yeah. People kind of laugh at them because they're kind of considered like first act basses, like, you know, like toys. But I don't know. Ibanez...
Higher end stuff, though, like much more expensive pieces in their catalog, so...
And I use one of their midlines, but... It's called the Ibanez ATK, and it was made in the 90s to compete basically with Rickenbackers and Stingrays. And they're definitely way better than Stingrays, in my opinion, personally. Practically wise, too. They have very odd pickups in it. I can't remember what they're called, but anyone who would look at Ibanez ATK would be like, wow, that's a very interesting looking pickup. But it's so bright, so it handles distortion amazingly. And of course, the J bass is just the absolute clinker, no matter what you're doing on those. It's so bright. And the P bass, I just used it because it was there. It is vintage, and he had lower gauges on it, so I used that for the fuzz on the record.
Okay. I want to let you dork out a little bit more here. I recently heard you on the Left Brain, Right Brain podcast. You said drummers alive are black drummers and to check out Gospel Chops.
Absolutely.
Drumming in general and how much it means to you. What drummers are inspiring you currently and how much of this Gospel Chops has affected your chops?
Right now, I think the guy killing the fucking game and the future of drumming and like the next drum guy is Xavier Ware. Guy's fucking insane. He's like, I don't know how to describe it to like in layman's terms.
The guy?
Xavier Ware. Yeah, he's just insane. He's like, he's doing what I've been trying to do, is bridging the gap between basically punk hardcore punk and metal in general. And, you know, with blast beats and such, you know, that whole world of drumming, which is just the mission is to play as fast as possible, combined with Gospel Chops, which is just articulated rudiments and jazz at the end of the day. Because it's like there's no one that really does it perfectly in between, because you'll have gospel choppers and they'll be like, which I'm so timid around when I do sheds with them, but they'll be always be like, oh yeah, man, your blast beats and, you know, your metal chops are really good. They're really sick, which I'm like, cool. But, you know, that's, I feel like it doesn't take too much talent then, other than, you know, just being to be able to be fast from my perspective as a,
hold up, someone blast who is rooted in metal talent? Drumming. You don't think it takes that much talent to blast away like that?
It takes practice for sure, but okay. For me, like, it doesn't take a lot of mental fortitude to do. It's just, you're just doing left, right, the whole time, you know, in terms of, you know, the sure. sticking, if you guys are following me. It's very simple, whereas compared to gospel chops, you're doing right, left, right, kick, left, left, right, kick, right, left, left, kick, you know, like something complicated. And you know, like, very complex, a lot of doubles, a lot of triplets, and it blows people's minds to the point where they call it like what's the word I'm looking for? I can't remember it right now. Polyrhythms, but it's, they don't view it as polyrhythms. They're just, it's just like literally a collage of rhythms and rudiments, whatever they feel like expressing themselves. We call it in the drum world the vocabulary, you know. There's just whatever their vocabulary is, they don't think that hard with that stuff. Whereas with metal, they're a bunch of nerds that usually don't actually have any background in music theory besides YouTube and being pretentious and going, oh, it's so complicated, when they're just doing singles. They're just doing left, right, left, right, left, right, which I'm not bashing on. It takes a lot of talent to be able to do that. It's a very, there's a massive physical emphasis when it comes to metal, like, you know, and the speed as well. Whereas, like I said, whereas with gospel chops, it's way more, like, it takes way more thought to put into it, at least from my perspective, with my background in metal drumming. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Xavier Ware, XavierWARE, one of the best. Like, I think the best, in fact. Yeah, he's just murdering everyone right now. And he's bridging that gap very well between metal and gospel chops, which is more prominent in the genre of fusion, because gospel chops is just more like just literally drums. But those are utilized mostly in when it comes to, like, fusion jazz.
Okay. Well, a lot of that's way over my head, but I knew you'd be excited to talk about it. And there's somebody who's excited to hear it. Fucking right. That was for you fucking sickos out there on the drums who are curious about
that. Yeah, anyone who's like, you know, listened to my drumming, it's, you know, it's definitely, I'm not trying to suck my dick here, but it definitely sticks out because I've pushed gospel chops onto that. You know, I feel like I have a signature sound in this genre. People know when they hear a specific fill, which is, you know, like a, you know, whatever you fucking guys, normies call it. But we call them fills or chops. So whenever I you know, on my records, you know, I feel like people hear my chops, they're like, oh, that's that Christian Hell fill, which is utilizes a lot of bell, which at the end of the day, for real drummers, they're like, oh, that's just gospel chops. But like I said, I've been trying to
get up from.
Yeah, I like to. I always treat cymbals like another tom or,
yep,
or snare. That's, you know, I just
trademark.
That's my approach to it. Sure. Yeah, which people always point out. I always see it in the comment sections. Like, oh, there he goes, that Christian Hell bell. And the last record I did, I had three bells in it. I had two. I had a big Zill bell. I forget the size of it. I had the Meinl, one of their bells, which sounds more kind of splashy, you know, splash cymbals if you're following, but it's definitely a you know, bell. And then of course my signature fucking Meinl extreme metal bell, big bell, which I love so much.
I thought I saw you rocking a tiny ice bell in the studio as well, like a real high pitch motherfucker there.
Yeah that's exactly what I was describing. Yeah, with the other ones, they're literally just bells. Whereas I have a big ride cymbal with a big bell on it. But yeah, I had three of those. It was so fun. Yeah. And you can probably barely hear it in the mix at the end of the day, but I don't care. It's there.
Worth it. How is the studio time coming? Are you done in the studio? And if so, do you have a tentative date for a release? Anything you can tell me like that about the new stuff?
My goal is to have the record finished before summer. So like all my energy after I finish this 20-day tour when I go back to the States, is going into putting out, finishing this record. And I think it's going to time out at about 20 to 22 minutes, which is, I'm so proud of. But like I said, I've been working on this record for years.
Dog right there. That's a crazy length, man.
Yeah. I'm also re-recording some old songs that I wrote. That was mostly me, even though it was kind of collaborative, but they're like, sorry about that burp. They're like 90% me on those songs, like Another Fucking Day in Paradise and I Deserve This and the Eat Ass songs. Yeah, I've re-recorded it for the circuit because I felt they deserved to be done with the tone that I'm using for this new record, because that was the vision I was aiming towards, that I was slowly putting all of my money into over the years to get this sound. And I'm just so stoked to finally see it come to life.
So hoping for the end of the summer, do you know what you're thinking physicals wise?
Oh, definitely doing cassettes and whatever that size is, 12 inches for vinyl. You can't say inches without putting a smile on your face, man. Get your ass out of the gutter.
God damn it. Trying to be professionals here, and 12-year-old fucking humor is coming out hard here.
Can't help it.
Lyrically, aside of the voices in your head, what's inspiring the aggression for the new album?
Ah, the usual.
Just the voices.
Someone I hate. Just the voices in my head. Yeah. Someone I hate or some issue I don't like. Anything that pissed me off. I might, like, most people don't know, All You Need Is Kill is kind of a romantic album. It's a kind of a heartbreak album, but that's as much as I'm going to say about it.
I did.
Gatekeeper of lyrics. Yeah. Gatekeeper of lyrics forever. It's all personal shit, and it's really no one's business. It's just fuel for me to be a genuine, very genuine artist in the studio. So I think one day I might put out some little coffee table book with all the lyrics and such in it, and all artwork compiled. But till then, yeah, like a nice little, I love books, so it'd be cool to have my own one day.
Yeah, I can't wait for the memoir. Can't wait. So I hear you're in high demand for splits. How many bands do a split? And is there any chance you're going to do one? Because here's a good chance to say yes or no to that.
No. With Hong Kong, no. No. It's annoying, man. It's like working with a parent. Like, it's like co-parenting. It's so fucking annoying. Because you want to go one direction, like, no, we wanted this our direction. And it's like the shittiest graphic you've seen in your entire life. So it's like, no, I just... it's because at the end of the day, I'm just an artist, and I want to make sure my vision is across. So collabing with other people on it is just really weird, especially with Hong Kong, which is my baby. But I'm totally down to do splits with my like side bitches, which is like my noise projects, and not All You Need Is Kill, maybe, but I don't think so. But like my noise stuff, yeah, definitely down for splits with that. I don't give a shit. That's
gross.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Despite making really bad noise, actually, great segue. Great music, and you like all kinds of it. You have a genuine love for the game. So I'd like to ask what you rock with. Not that's cringy, but because you're a man who shows no shame towards what you listen to. What are you rocking with that's very peculiar? What's the strangest thing you're playing in your personal?
I forget the name of it, but my bandmate showed me this old school, like Mongolian, like throat singing music. That's so good. And then, of course,
a good answer. Okay.
There's this guy named Atikak. He's this guy from Africa who just BS's music with a keyboard on some Wesley Willis type shit. Like, just uses the backing tracks on it and just has the most insane falsetto, like high-pitched voice. It sounds like a 12-year-old girl. But it's so catchy. It's like, yeah, absolute chills. I bought that shit on vinyl ASAP. I was like, fuck yeah. So stuff like that. Lately I've been like I kind of liked vaporwave back in the Tumblr days, but it wasn't my thing. But recently, it's been very calming for my ADHD. So I've been listening to a lot of that. I'm horrible with artist names. I just have it saved on my phone, and it was like, oh, boom, there we go. Yeah. Because Einstein once said you shouldn't remember anything you have easy access to. So I'm like, cool. I just shut off my brain when I put it on.
There goes the world then, because we got pretty easy access to fucking everything now.
Yeah, and he also said, you know, basically the greater the technology becomes, the dumber the youth will be.
Yeah, we got Christian Hell quoting fucking Einstein on my podcast. That's, all right.
Quoting him, am I allowed to say that?
Probably not.
Oh, let me say it again. Quoting him in the most layman negative IQ terms possible, yes.
Sounded smarter the first way. Yeah, for sure. So I asked you last time, but what bands haven't you played with yet that you'd love to share the stage with? Is there anybody still on your bucket list before you call it a day with the band?
No, there's a band called Polish. They recently, quote unquote, sold out and got a guitarist because it was two bassists at first. There's another band. Yeah, to me, that's so, oh my God, you fucking sell out. But it's still great. Fantastic.
Posers.
I would love to share the stage with Holy Grinder from Canada. They're also two bass, sometimes like pushing towards three basses.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Maybe one day.
You won't come.
You guys are pricks. You won't let me in your country over a fucking seatbelt ticket.
Your fucking seatbelt ticket. You make,
you know what?
Goddamn merch sales.
I took my seatbelt off to grab my wallet, okay?
I don't give a fuck. Just come to Canada, bro.
I give a fuck, man. That officer was a dick, okay?
Yeah.
And that ticket.
What they do.
That ticket got pardoned, okay? So, but for some reason, it shows up as some sort of clerical error in the Canadian, whatever the fuck you call it, database, their bullshit system, as basically what's the word I'm looking for here? Just like it's not finished. It's like unsettled something. I don't know. I don't give a fuck about.
It's called unpaid. Just fucking pay it and then fucking
I don't have to. It was pardoned, okay? It was pardoned, but it still shows up to the Canadians as like not settled or whatever the fuck you mother Canuckers call it. And they won't let me in over it. And they're like, yo, you go to Los Angeles, pay this $400 fee for a class to show that you've been redeemed, that you've been healed, and then I can come in. But I'm just like, no, fuck you guys. I'm not doing it. But maybe. I kind of miss Canada. Most beautiful place in the West Coast. Dude. Gosh. Can't imagine how beautiful the East Coast is.
Gosh.
Yeah, we can get you ass naked, cover you in maple syrup, and get you to play a set and get you stage diving.
For a noise show, for sure. Absolutely. For that 21 and up noise show. You got my balls, yes, covered in maple syrup and poutine, whatever the fuck.
That's what the Canadians want. That's why we're begging to get you over here, man.
Well, when I'm there, I got a loony and a toony on the poutine, my brother.
Hell yeah. I'm waiting for the day, man. I'm waiting for the day. Who's not done a reunion yet that you're still hoping might do it? Because, like, fucking everyone's done it.
Gosh. Admiral Angry would be amazing. Spaz would be amazing. Those guys are all still alive. Charles Bronson would be great too. So
they just did.
Would love those.
Vinyl. They did a vinyl issue. Shit, a couple.
They did. Yeah.
Thought like, ooh, maybe that's going to be a reunion, and I was going to cop the vinyl, and then I forgot that I'm Canadian, so the conversion plus shipping was like, yeah, I don't have $100.
Yeah. Speaking of Charles Bronson, some dipshit had the audacity to upload their music, to stream their music to Spotify.
Yeah.
And it wasn't them. And they're pretty pissed about that.
They went down in a,
like,
it's not even up there anymore.
Yeah, it's finally down.
It got taken off Spotify, like, right away. Because I saw Charles Bronson. I was like, fuck yeah, adding that to my Power Violence playlist.
Natural. I don't know. You sure about that? Maybe it just wasn't available in your country, you Canucker fuck.
Maybe.
Happens. Because it was up for a long time. Like, yeah, no, I don't give a shit.
Your hair, don't worry about it. Yeah.
No, it looks good. It looks good. No,
that's
great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that cowlick. Like, well. But anyway, yeah, no, it's, I can check right now, but I don't want to. But it was streaming for definitely months on end after they called that, whoever the fuck streamed that. Because that person is, That person's making money on that. Like, they're streaming Charles Bronson. They're
fucking streaming. Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck you. I'm making a lot on streaming. It's nice. I get a $700 to $800 check a month on streams from mostly Spotify. Like 80% of that is Spotify. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. That's actually not.
And we don't even have that many monthly listeners. It's like maybe like 22 to 25,000 listeners a month. Whereas you have like fucking Zulu and Jell and Spy, and they have like close to 100, even Scalp have close to 100,000 listeners a month. So they're at least getting 1,000 a month.
I don't think
so. Yeah.
Spotify money.
No, Jell's still going to get their Spotify money, man. People love that band. Yeah, Jell.
I don't get why. I'll say it.
Well, it's easier to say that after the Gooner came out. You know, I did a show with him, and I was trying to be chatty with that Gooner guy, and he just wasn't a chatty guy. Oh, he was just like staring at the check the whole time, just like,
damn.
While I was trying to chat him up, and he's just like, whatever, and just staring at that fucking check. Because he
liked you better on your OnlyFans, I guess.
I guess my sniffer. Thank you very much.
Just my sniffer.
Oh yes, your sniffer. That's
wow. Good times.
Let's
pick good times. Easy money. Well, let's not talk about it again. How much more do I need to talk about? Yes, I sold underwear and I wore it on days on end with skid marks. I don't give a shit. I was broke back in the day.
Fuck, man.
Easy money.
And I would do it if I could. I just, no one's paying for my gotchies.
Yeah, don't swerk shame me, son. You're in a world of pain if you do that.
All right, what's the end goal here with Hong Kong? Fuck you. What do you want to have accomplished before you call it a career and hang up your hat?
You know what? I don't know. No idea. People, anytime someone asks me what, like, are you ready? I just say no. I'm not ready, but I can improvise. So maybe that's the jazz head in me. Yeah. I do want to basically. My main goal right now is just to fucking international max, I guess you could call it. I want to, you know, play overseas as much as possible. I don't think we're going to play the States too much next year. We're already planning out another Japan tour and throwing in Taiwan and Thailand and the Philippines and China and Korea. Well, somewhat Korea, because Korea apparently is not a big scene, but it would be cool to do it anyways. And I'm also planning with Nothing Less Booking for a European tour. So that's the main goal, just pushing the, I guess, promoting the new record worldwide as much as humanly possible. And I'm still writing new stuff. So I'm already, like, plotting the next record, which is probably going to be another 2 years, because I don't want to just BS something. I already did that for a few records, which was Eat Ass and the Pink record, Happy Shooting Rainbows. I just pulled those out of my ass in the studio the day of. I want, you know, to put more thought into stuff.
True.
Yeah, but that's how Third World was. Third World, I was plotting that record over 3 years, which is like the basically when we put on Third World, there's guaranteed blood every fucking time.
Yeah. Okay. So you said you'd pivot, and I had the question, you know, if you weren't a ass rocker fool, what do you think you'd be doing for your main hustle? Can't say selling underwear. You gotta get
creative. Oh, I don't know. Definitely not graphic design. I hated making art for clients. It was the most annoying thing. Like, you know how it is if you've ever worked in industry. If, like, for example, if you mess up a sandwich, the customer's like, "Oh, I don't like the sandwich." It's like, okay, I got you, brother. You know, you fix it up real quick. It takes like 5 minutes. Whereas the graphic design, they're like, you know, that's not the vibe I was going for. You're like, okay, brother. Give me 10 hours to fucking fix this. It's so fucking annoying. It's like, and there's always going to be quote unquote Karens in any line of work you do. I still get fucking Karens with selling merch, trying to tell me I owe them shit because their stuff got stolen. I'm like, fuck you. Oh, your shit got stolen. That's on you, bro. I don't owe you shit.
True.
Like, fuck off. But anywho, definitely, like, with graphic design, not doing that route. It's the clientele is too annoying, and it kind of made art not fun anymore for me. So I stopped doing that real quick. Nowadays, when I do graphic design, I literally tell them, like, yo, I'll charge you really dick cheap if you let me do whatever I want. And you can't tell me what to do, and you can't tell me to fix this. Like, you get what you get. And they're just like, cool. And they're usually happy. Or I charge way up the ass because I'm like, dude, I don't want to. I hate the idea of doing your idea as an illustration, which is going to take me like 4 days to make, like over the course of 20 hours. So, of course, I'm going to charge you at least 25 an hour for that to 50 an hour. And then there's the other portion of my graphic design where I'm just like, I like your band. I'll make whatever you want me to, or, you know, leaning towards my direction with it, as long as you just give me whatever that item is of merch, because I'm doing this because I just like your band. So with that in mind, definitely not doing graphic design. Yeah. But, you know, I've had a lot of offers from friends because, you know, I have normal friends in my age range, which is 30s, that have tons of benefits. So, and it's cool. Yeah, because Hong Kong, it's a billion jobs in one, which you probably heard, you know, in my other interviews. You know, I'm doing micromanaging, like,
I know,
doing all the graphic design for it,
every
recording everything, yeah, wear every hat in it. It's exhausting, man. It's like Snoop Dogg said, like, I thank myself for having no days off. Fucking true, dude. There's no days off with this shit. It's constant. And as a creative, it's horrible because I only feel creative between like midnight and 8 a.m. During the day, I'm like, fucked, I can't focus on it. Like, everyone has to be pretty much dead to me for me to focus and do this shit. And it's deteriorating my mental health a little bit. Literally. Like, when you don't sleep, your brain starts eating itself. You know, it's not releasing the chemicals it's supposed to release during your 8 hours of sleep. That's real bad. Okay. So, yeah, it's so that's why I desire having a normal job again, because less responsibilities, not as much money, but, you know.
What do you think, though?
Maybe.
Sure, or labor, or what do you think you'd end up doing once you call it?
I haven't. I do have an offer for doing stagehand stuff. Basically, I would be climbing and setting up, you know, outdoor stages, which I'm not scared of because, you know, with my background with rock climbing. And you get paid a ton for it because, you know, there's a lot of injury risk with it.
You're paid.
And
cool.
Yeah. And then there's just warehouse jobs that pay a fuck ton because that my friend is offering because it's for a big company that makes literally giant x-rays for border crossings and airports and military bases. So I would just be forklifting shit. So basically forklift certified, but getting paid a fuck ton while living in Texas where rent is
that's boring.
Ass
that's
cheap.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry for a little bit longer, man.
Sorry for adulting for 3 seconds.
No, I did want to ask because there is, you know, I wanted to see all sides of the Hellverse. And speaking of which,
this is my first sober podcast, I think. So,
along.
Which one? Oh, my personal action figure. It's slowly getting there. Yeah. It's called Seamless Figures, where they look like giant love dolls. I'm sorry, tiny love dolls. So, it has no like little joints on it. It's like literally a metal skeleton with like a rubber body over it, including a penis. And it's slowly getting there.
It's with it?
Yeah. Accurate, you know? I mean, no, it comes with a penis. So you buy the body pre-made from other companies. That's what most collectors and custom figure guys do.
For realism kind of thing, or?
No, they have the realistic tiny Asian penis size, yeah. The grower, not a shower, but a grower size, yeah, they got it. including erection size, I'm pretty sure. But I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I could have fun with that, maybe not. I don't know. But, I've bought the outfit for it. Which is the, you know, mostly I wear like a lot of like basic shit, like just pair of black jeans and a lot of military surplus stuff. So I was able to find those exact ones at the accurate scale size for a 1/6 figure myself.
So funny. Are you going to complete this thing? I want to see like the head on it. I know you have the full outfit, like you got the pants and the shirt.
So one of my favorite accurate sculptors from Beijing, I don't know his name, it's something in Chinese. I can't read Chinese. I can't read Mandarin or Cantonese, where the fuck it is. I friended him on Facebook. So now all I have to do is inquire with him how much he's going to charge to do a custom head sculpt to put on it, which will probably has something gnashing teeth, like, kind of face.
Yeah. Yo, you got to get the hands, too, so you can hold drumsticks.
Yeah. But they come with hands, so yeah. But for him to make accurate hands, actually, good idea.
Ones, changeable ones.
Like, yeah.
Have drumsticks in them and then ones that don't, right?
Yeah, and it's annoying because I have to get what I was referring to earlier as a seamless figure, which is, you know, like there's no joints on it. It's just this rubber body so that I can make my own custom decal so I can have accurate tattoos on it. It's going to be fun.
Oh.
And all this just so I can have my little fucking 12-inch version of myself, butt-fucking Barbie dolls or whatever. I don't know.
You always wanted a 12-inch version of yourself.
Yes. That is fantastic. And just the most raunchiest, queerest scenarios. Oh, I can't wait.
Well, congratulations on your first sober podcast while you finish your first beer of the day at, what, 9 a.m. in the morning, 9:30 right now?
9:25, thank you very much. A.m. I'm in the future, baby.
One of the last true rock stars left. Christian,
how is it? I guess, man. I'm just doing me, man. I'm just doing me, bro. Just doing me.
I know. That's the thing. It's authentic. It's authentic. So my usual questions that I end with, I've already done with you because I had you on the podcast last time, and we spoke off mic many times. But
we did. That was a fun conversation.
Yes. Hypothetically, you end up in jail again. And being drafted into gangs for unity and protection. Who are you going with? Are you going to pick the Mexicans or the Asians?
I'm going to roll with the blacks, man. I fucking love my fucking black people. My mom, she was raised in South Central during segregation times. Like, she witnessed Martin Luther King getting, you know, his assassination on the news. She, you know, she was spat on and was called the pineapple hard R. Like, all of that. She dealt with all that. She has the N-word pass. She dealt with all that. So I was pretty much raised black because of her. That. So, and when I was in jail, I did roll with the blacks and the Mexicans. And there's one Asian guy there. And they all had my back. It was great. I would have been jumped that day in jail if it weren't for them. Yeah. It was literally like the end of a bug's life. For me, when it's just like, fuck you guys, there's more of us than you. And all my fellow POC motherfuckers are like, oh damn, this motherfucker's right. Oh shit. I'll never forget. I run into this guy every once in a while in San Diego, and he's like, I remember you, Cell 18. You taught me to never judge a book by its cover, because you look like some nerdy motherfucker that was in there for like hacking or some shit. But no, you stood up to that motherfucker and whooped his ass. And anyone wondering out of context, I basically stood up against the Peckerwoods last time I was locked up, and they lost control of that unit because I said something. So yeah, it was cool. I talked shit and I fought his ass. Told him, meet me in cell 18. Never forget.
Shout out to the Hong Kong fuck you POC fans. It's crazy, crazy conversation. I'm gonna fucking wrap it because we've been at almost an hour and a half. Any last shout outs, plugs, causes, anything you want to speak on within fucking reason? The mic is yours.
Right after this, I'm gonna go take a fat shit and blast my ass with a Japanese warm bidet and take a bath.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna be great. And then I'm going to go to the Ghibli Museum, see Uzumu's house. And it was a very special request from my booker. He insisted that I show up to a Slight Slapper show, which is at fucking 12 p.m. in a thong and surprise him. So I guess.
Booker now? Yeah. I thought you were still booking your own shit. Fucking sellout.
Internationally. Man, I don't know what I'm doing in Japan. I can't speak Japanese. I need help. Okay. Give me a fucking break.
Eyeball. You can order eyeball and pick out hentai. I'm sure you're good.
That's right. Onesan! How about you? Hentai? I don't know how to order hentai. God, shut the fuck up with that.
Christian, my friend, this is...
My boy.
I wonder how much this is going to make the cut. Maybe I'll just let it all go. Fuck it.
For the record, I can say... I've sucked dick, so fuck you. You're probably some turf band motherfucker. giving me shit. I can say it. Fuck you. Don't tell me what I can and cannot say.
That's freedom of speech to a degree.
Yeah, man. Elon Musk didn't die for nothing. He's going to die. He's going to die.
I'm done.
The next Louis Mangina is going to come out of the woodworks and blast that motherfucker.
Mangione.
I'm not insinuating anything. I'm only predicting. Okay.
Did you say Louis Mangina?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Mangi.
I don't endorse murder, but like no one at the same time was like, yeah, he shouldn't have done that. It's just gonna end with Louis Mangina.